Hey, everyone. Just wanted to jump in here. Programming note. First off, hello again. We're back. And not when we say back like we used to every week. No, this time we're back from a very, very long departure.
Oh, that's when I jump in. Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. We haven't been here for a while, so... Yeah, I agree with everything that Nick has said. If you don't know who this voice is because it's been so long, this is DJ, your other co-host and co-creator.
Yeah, hi.
And hey, and that's Nick, your co-host and co-creator.
Uh-huh, that's me.
We're coming back. We know that we've been away for a long time. There's some things that come up. I mean, there's no excuses for not putting out podcasts, and we apologize for that. But we want to make this a regular thing again, so we hope that you have, we hope that you stick with us and that you want to continue this journey. We thank you for all the support that you've given us so far. And yeah, I think we've got some good things planned for season two here, is what we're essentially calling it.
Yeah. Affectionately known as season two.
Yeah. We've got guests, I believe, coming on. Or some more characters from The Office.
Yes.
That we both work in or pretend to work in. Was that it? Was that the only thing?
just mostly wanted to say too that this episode, as well as the next and the next one, were all recorded previously before our departure. So we had them down, but you know, life stuff, holidays, family, all kinds of things kind of not got in the way, but we kind of put this on the back burner. But yeah, we just wanted to come in here and say we're coming back.
I'll say that they got in the way much more regularly.
Yeah.
I'll say it. They really interrupted us. If we didn't have family and friends, we would be doing this a lot more.
Yeah, exactly.
Those pesky people.
Pesky jobs and other people and loved ones. Ugh. Right? Am I right? Anyway.
Yeah, look forward to more episodes. We missed you. We missed this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that's about it.
Yeah. With that, enjoy the episode. The latest and greatest market-ready board games straight from our brains into your households. I'm your co-host and co-creator, Nick Bruno.
And I'm your other co-host and co-creator, DJ Bruno.
Here we are again, ready for the games.
I'm ready for the games, and the games are ready for me.
Oh, ooh. Now there is a real, I don't know if that was Edgar Allan Poe or who's... Who's the one that's who does the bell toll for? Do you know who that writer is?
That's Black Sabbath.
Oh, close enough, right?
No, I don't know. I'm sure there's. Yeah, I think I don't even know if Black Sabbath, but isn't don't they have something of like for whom the bells tolls?
Yeah, for whom the bell tolls. And I literally have no idea how that guitar line goes, but I know that there's one that happens after that.
I'll just say I made a goof. I made a joke. I don't actually know if that's Black Sabbath. So any Black Sabbath fans out there, you heard what I said.
Yeah, I swear there's some kind of poet or literary, you know, historical figure that's what that line comes from.
Yeah, I don't think the rock band or metal band made that up, because I think it was like for whom the bell tolls. I think that's in reference to like church bells ringing for like
right.
A funeral.
Yes. It tolls for thee, or I think it's the end of that line. Maybe. I don't know.
Maybe it was Poe. Maybe it was I don't know, Walt Whitman in his edgy days.
Yeah. famous rock band Black Sabbath, headed by Edgar Allan Poe and Walt Whitman.
Mm-hmm. And Jane Austen.
Jane Austen on the drums.
Yeah, I would listen to that.
if you had to form a band out of authors, who would it be and what would they play?
It would be...
Ready for one right off the bat that I was thinking of? J.R.R. Tolkien piano.
Okay. Sylvia Plath on the theremin.
Oh, that's a good one.
I don't know what exactly she would contribute, but I just think that Sylvia Plath would absolutely rock on a theremin.
Ayn Rand on vocals, but I think she would do a really good, like, I don't think she would sing well. Like, she wouldn't have, like, actual good, like, pitch. I don't know. Who knows? Maybe she would. But what I guess I'm saying is that the real, like, the good part of to her, in my opinion, would be, like, her just, like, vocal quality, you know? She would almost have, like, a spoken word quality to her singing.
Oh, like William Shatner kind of style?
I mean, maybe it would be William Shatner style, but I guess all I'm saying is that it would be very unique, and that's the selling point behind Ayn Rand on vocals.
I think there's recordings of Ayn Rand. I think her voice is really deep.
See, there we go.
I think, well, not really deep, but I think it's a deep one.
Yeah, yeah, it's a distinct voice.
Yeah.
All right, so be on the lookout for...
This theremin piano vocals combo.
this legendary trio coming to you.
Walt Whitman on the tambourine. Ralph Waldo Emerson on the flute.
Jack Kerouac rocking. He's just actually doing a DDR dance pad.
Yeah.
He doesn't realize that it's not
He's the backup dancer.
Yeah, he's the backup dancer. But it's specifically on a DDR dance pad.
This is a great... I love all of this.
Yeah. They would be called the Riders of Rock. Or something
The
like
Riders
that.
Of Rock.
Yeah.
That's good.
Oh, man. The it's Riders almost like we got Rock. Like a... This is our movie pitch for Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure cross School of Rock. So Jack Black with Keanu Reeves, you know, coming back at you with both of those classic hits. And there we go.
Well, I was thinking this sounds like a Night at the Museum kind of situation where
yeah.
You got Ben Stiller creeping into some sort of wax figure, except it's all writers. And just like down the hall from these writers are famous musicians. And they fight each other at first to see who is the most poetic, who's got like,
yeah.
who
most
speaks the best poetry. Yeah, well, it's not even influential, but it's like, our words, you know, the writers would be like, and authors would be like, our words, you know, our form of writing was like way before yours. Like, you got nothing on us. But the rockers would be like, well, we're way more modern. And we speak to like the real problems in youth to do like today.
Mm.
And then they'd fight each other. And then at some point, a third group would get involved. Maybe not even a group, but just like a villain would get involved. And then they'd have to team up using both the power of rock and, I don't know. Writing
the written word,
yeah, the written word and whatnot. So that's how that would go.
I'm already imagining a scene where is it Confucius that said the pen is mightier than the sword, right?
Probably.
And then he
while we're misquoting
pen.
Everyone I'll say yes.
While we're already on this crazy train,
was it Taylor Swift that said the pen is mightier than
yeah
the sword?
I think it was her. What I was going to say is that as soon as that line is delivered, they use the pen as a guitar pick to play a gnarly, you know, lick that
oh,
blows away
that'd be
the
awesome.
Bad guys, right?
I mean, Confucius could be in there as well, because he did some writing as well. So, like,
yeah,
kind of an author. Got a big book of Confucianisms.
Confucianism, right?
Yeah.
I think? Yeah. Well, all right. So, as you may have guessed, we're a board game podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And we come up with movie pitches and great ideas just all around. But now we're going to do a board game. So that's what we're going to do here.
But first, are we going to patch it up at all?
Maybe we should. Here's a whole thing for what I want. And I don't know if there's going to be intro music. Patch it up.
We'll just take that recording that you just did right now, and we'll play
yeah,
that.
We'll get it in post. We'll take that part out and put it in an actual thing. But definitely the phrase. I'm really glad that I landed on it eventually. It's like I tripped all the way to the tumbling thing as a gymnast, but I stuck the landing for patch it up. So here we go.
I actually couldn't quite tell what you were doing. I thought you were having a stroke over this when you just randomly started singing. And I was going to have to like call 911.
It's a little bit of column A, a little bit of column B. cool. But yes, our beloved segment is back. Patch it up. We're going to take a board game. We're gonna patch it up, make it something new or add something different to an existing board game. Do you have any on the top of your mind?
I did coming into this about like 30 minutes ago, and I should have written it down, but I've kind of lost the board game that I was thinking about. And what about, yes, go ahead.
I was gonna say, what about even just like, I mean, hey, it's our segment, we make the rules, but what about even just like any just like type of, I guess, like hobby like game? Because you gave me a little inspiration when you said you lost something. What if I Spy, but it was like pictures from your life, and you didn't realize that it was that you were getting an I Spy book with pictures from your life until you like, you know, open the book and it's like, I Spy, you know, like there's like three dogs in the town square and one man in a blue shirt and your car keys, Dave, they're in there. It's like, what? My car keys?
Are you talking about like going down like core memories of like I Spies?
I mean like I, you know, the books I Spy, right?
Of course I know the books I Spy.
Okay. I just wanted to get a nice little basis, but the I Spy books, but it's like hidden in, you know, maybe you, it would be like a subscription based thing that you do, but I Spy would come to your house and like steal something. They would, when you thought you had misplaced something, you would have to find it in their book and point it out to them in order to get it back.
That sounds difficult and hard.
Oh, it is. It's only for the true I Spires.
Well, this could actually even be, I mean, so what you've pitched is a little nefarious, but honestly, if you were to take this, you know how you, like, you can write like children's books, then have them sent in like change your beloved child to be the main character, right? And like they have those templates.
Your pets and stuff like that too.
Yeah, you could do this in a way that you could, maybe it's like a bunch of objects that like your kids used to play with as like a child, I don't know, or like a baby, you know?
Oh, so like personalized. You got
some like stuffed animals or something like that. And they do basically what you just described, except you like donate them to the I Spy team and they make like a personal book out of it. And then it's like when the kid's reading it when they're 7 or 8 and, well, you know, they look back. Yes?
Yeah. I was going to say, yeah, yours sounds a lot more benign and doable. So, sure, let's go with that.
Yeah. Well, you could also have maybe like, you could have a situation where maybe it's like, you know, a bachelor party, and for one of their fun little bachelor pranks, they like knock their bachelor out. They take his wallet and move it around some places, and then they're like, all right, Kevin, time for you to spy all the things that you can't find anymore. Ha ha ha, look how fun this is.
So it's the Hangover, but I Spy.
Oh, I guess I did describe that, yeah. I mean, if you want to...
You know, yeah.
Yeah, but you're not, like, losing the person. If you want to do this for other parties besides a bachelor party, you can do that, too.
Yeah. Well, now I'm really just thinking about all of the applications of this, be it, yes, yeah, sending in childhood toys or your own personal knickknacks and stuff, or, like, you know, like a scrapbook or something or whatever, you know? This went from...
Scrapbook kind of, would be cool.
Yeah, this went from kind of like a jokey joke, you know, hey, what if we took this thing and really, like, twisted it up, to, like, an actually probably good marketable idea. So...
I mean, that's what we do here at Patch Potch. We turn everything...
That's true.
I'd like to say all of the previous 19 episodes coming out before this were great marketable ideas.
I Spy verbal gold, and it's right here, baby. Right? Mm-hmm. In this podcast, in these electronic sound waves that are coming to you, not live. I was gonna say live.
I have a game.
Shoot.
So, I was thinking, because it is our 20th episode,
oh, yeah,
and I did say see you in 10 episodes when I was talking about Life Day, my mind was going to go to, what was I going to say, that one crazy Star Wars chess game and actually give it physical rules right now. And the patch-up is actually making the rules, period. But then I was thinking that would be, yeah, that would be really hard, yeah. So I will still talk about Life Day. Everyone should go see that Life Day thing, if not just for the first 15 minutes. And I'll do this again in 10 episodes. But what if we came up with Darts 2? And that's what it was called. That's my other option.
Wait, that's what the game was called in Star Wars?
No. I kind of had like a really bad segue there. I was finished with the Star Wars thing and immediately went into my next idea, which is Darts 2.
Okay. Well, to kind of... Can I hit you with this? Well, no. If you got something, but I just... My brain went somewhere immediately as soon as
I have zero things. All I have so far is Darts 2.
Okay. So how chess takes place on a 2D board, or at least the pieces move in, you know, two directions, or, you know, based off of whatever they are. And yep. Darts, you're throwing a dart, you know, straight forward at a board that's like that. What if, you know, those motorcycle stunts at like the circus or like Barnum and Bailey where they ride around that metal cage? What if what if Darts 2 was that you got in a cage and you were like spinning around like that and your objective was to try to throw a dart and hit a dartboard or whatever that was also spinning around the cage?
I love that idea because I thought you were just going to say, I would have settled with the board itself was just going to be a three-dimensional object, like a globe that would spin, that have targets on it. But you just cranked it up to 11, to a place like I couldn't even imagine.
Yeah, you also spin while you're trying to throw that dart.
Yeah, that would be, I mean, that's very much like Mad Max. I mean, at this point, we should also just like strap them in with chainsaws and put them in the Thunderdome too while, you know, they're trying to throw darts. The guy's like chasing them with a chainsaw.
Two darts enter, one dart leaves.
Yeah.
Two people riding around on motorcycles at the same time trying to throw a dart at a board.
I love this idea because darts is such a staple for every single bar, but I'd love to now see bars implement this into like every single one of them as well, where it's like, oh, you guys got a Darts 2 board in the back?
This
yeah,
sick.
Cage. Because, yeah, let's go play some Darts 2.
You guys weren't planning on going into work tomorrow or ever again in your life, right? Let's play some Darts 2.
Yeah. That I don't think we can improve Darts any further from that.
This is the end of Darts.
Yeah, there's no Darts 3, unless it's like, I don't know, Darts 3 could be like, to get like even more extreme, it's like you're skydiving into a volcano, and then you have to throw a dart just before you hit the lava and like bungee jump back out or something like that.
I was thinking of even going, okay, so since we went from two dimensions to three dimensions, Darts 3 would be the fourth dimension.
Oh,
you'd
yeah.
You'd have to make a time travel thing where you've already thrown the dart. And you also made the board.
You meet the inventor of Darts 1 and then challenge them to a game of darts and then kill them. And then you become the inventor of darts and then wait till someone else comes back in time.
Comes
to
back
fight
and
you.
Plays Darts 3.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's how Darts 3 is played. It's just the cyclical cycle of you fighting whoever invented darts.
It's basically Highlander, but...
mm-hmm.
Oh, amazing. It's good stuff. Huh. All right, well, I guess we're going to make another board game now.
One more killer board game.
Yeah, but this one's going to be original, even though, again, hey, I'd put my stamp on... You've Been Spied or Darts 2.
Oh, is that what you call it? You've Been Spied?
I just came up with it on the spot.
That's really a good name.
Well, thank you.
I like that one.
Yeah. It's, you know, it's more involved for you and everything like that.
Mm-hmm. And then for the bachelor party one, it says, you've lost your stuff. And that's all it is.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, based off of all this, I kind of... It's like, you know, thinking about these things prior to starting the podcast and then it kind of bled into my patch it up, not going to lie. I had a bit of an idea, and it might be hard to come up with an entire game with this concept, but I think we could do something with it.
I mean, we've done a lot of things with just bits, so
right.
I'm cool to get the bits going.
Well, I challenge us in this, our 20th episode, to try and do a TTRPG.
A tabletop role-playing game.
Yes, a tabletop role-playing game. At least come up with some good groundwork stuff. Again, maybe I don't want to get too bogged down in the mechanics, because obviously those games are very, very dense with rules, but I want to come up with a rich lore, some kind of basis of what's going on, and then, you know, of course, the title and who goes first. But to kick it off, my idea for it started when I was thinking, okay, what if, you know, like Dungeons and Dragons, stuff like that, you make a character, it's in this fantasy realm, and you make them, you give them backstory, blah, blah, and all that stuff. But what if you had to create your characters, or there was a TTRPG where you had to create it based off of either, like, things you could find in your house, like, the DM would come in and give, like, everyone, like, a minute tops or something like that, and they would have to scrounge together just whatever they could carry, basically, come back with it, and then come up with a story about their character, who they are, what their powers are, whatever it is, just based off of a random assortment of small objects in whatever place you're playing at.
I like this idea so far. I also want to say that I, for the 20th episode, I was thinking about, like, doing a TTRPG, or at least pitching it to you, which is, I guess, a good lesson that we should probably talk to each other if we're both, like, before, thinking yeah. the same thing.
This is true.
Well, I think it's great, though, that we have started it, but, yeah, I was like, maybe we could do, I was gonna say, like, maybe we could do one and make it, like, our first two-parter, if we want to have a two-parter.
Okay, let's see how far we get with this.
We will, but okay, here's some ideas. Here are some ideas to sort of piggyback off of what you were saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, rather than... I like the thing where it's like, to make your character, you need to go around and, like, look for certain things.
Mm-hmm.
But what if we had this set up, because I really like the idea of using your environment to your own sort to make create the game, and this may be a really hard thing to do based on, like, groups, timing, and scheduling and whatnot. But
gotcha.
What if we had, like, when the groups got together, they made a consensus about, like, the theme, and it did take from parts that were, I don't know, in real life. And you then, once you decide on the themes would be, like, a museum or, like, the beach or something like that. And then every single one of those party members, including the DM, had to go there to, like, take a picture or something like that, or, like, look at the different sort of exhibits or whatever place that they may be. It might just be, like, a fancy bar or something like that. And then from there, they build their character based off of, like, their experience in that thing. So it's, like, okay. Yeah, it's not like you have to go around and pick up trash and, like, you know... I like the idea where you go around and you gather things, but it doesn't have to be physically gathering it. It could be, like, some people split up and they go to, like, a different part of the museum that's, like, I don't know, like, ancient or, like, East Asian, like, statues and culture and stuff like that. So they see a lot of terracotta warriors, and they're like, our character's going to be a terracotta warrior. Or, like, okay. And the other people, they go to, like, I don't know, some sort of, painting section, and they see the Starry Night. And they're like, okay, I'm going to be a space wizard.
Or a space knight, because it's a starry night.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Yeah, even better.
Here we go.
That's what I'm going with.
Gonna take it in another step further. Gonna take the ball and keep running with it.
That's great.
What if I like the idea that it's a little bit more about, like, actual... Not to say, like, impactful, but more... It can be more abstract things. It doesn't have to be, you know... like a spoon, and you bring it back, like, my character's a chef or whatever, blah blah blah. It doesn't have to be something like small or whatever. What if you would meet at these locations, and not only do you have a time crunch, but every player, whoever they are, was given, like, a camera able to capture three photos, and you could go and take photos of three different things, and then when you came back, you could say, like, your example in the museum, say, okay, I got a picture of a terracotta warrior. I got a picture of, you know, a really big flower, and then I got a picture of Starry Nights or whatever. So my person is kind of this, like, clay golem that has star powers, but also is, like, druidic or whatever in nature and stuff like that. And it's this combination of what your photos were. Because then, yeah, someone else could be like, okay, well, I got mammoth, T-Rex, and walrus, and I'm a big monster thing, and I...
That'd be awesome.
That's what I'm saying. So, yes. Cool. So that would be how you assign your characters, would be these photos that you would take. And, you know, it'd be kind of fun of, like, maybe you at first all spread out to, like, find inspiration. And as you, you know, are making the characters, party members, like, I find you after you've taken the mammoth one. I show you my terracotta one. I'm like, oh, okay, well, I've got this. I'm thinking about going this way. It's like, okay, cool. I'll go that way to try and complement it. And bing, bang, boom. You got some kind of party being formed even before the game has started.
What if there was a method where it's like you take three photos and then on the party size, it like randomizes them. And so then when everyone goes to make their character, you become the Starry Night mammoth, robot thing that someone else saw.
Yeah, I like that. I like that.
So the things you're taking a picture of aren't necessarily they might not be applied to you, but you want to like do some cool stuff so that you can, you know, fit that in. And it can also be like, I mean, I'm not advocating to take pictures of like random people in the park, but if you're not going to like the museum or anything like that, you can just like walk around in any old like neighborhood and like find cool objects and like take a picture of it and be like, this is like part of like a character sheet now. Like,
right.
This is, you know. If you were to go that method, I think it is better when everyone decides on, like, an actual location that everyone can get to. Or maybe not even, like, everyone gets to if you're doing it online, but, like, we're all going to go to our museums and then, like, take pictures there.
Well, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think, and I mean, heck, this could just be how people would play this game, but it could be, I mean, you could come in preemptively. The DM could give you a little bit of a prompt, and based off of that you would have however much time to go and take three pictures that you really enjoyed, and then boom, you're ready for the play session. Or it could be that you come in blind, and yeah, whether it's online or you're meeting somewhere, the DM would say, okay, the theme is this and go, and then everyone has a certain amount of time to either go outside and take photos, or even, yeah, again, maybe find some interesting photos around their apartments or things that they find inspiration for a crazy amalgamation character.
Yeah. That all makes sense to me.
Amazing. With all this said, what is the point of this game then? What is the conflict and what do the players do?
Okay. Those are all good questions.
Immediately, my mind kind of goes, at least maybe even just as like a soft base for us to start from, they would be like investigators or journalists, something of that nature, since this game has a photography element and you are going and, you know, seeing locations and finding stuff. So you're a team of people or, you know, creatures, whatever it is, that have come together and you're investigating something. The next part, I don't know.
I was actually trying to think of something as well that was along the lines of photography and whatnot, because it does make sense to me to include that into the sort of overarching theme. I mean, if we're going to, it's like, I'm trying to think of like ways that like what the quests look like in this world, like are like photos magic in this? Is it like Blue's Clues where it's like every single photo that you take unlocks a world, and that's how all of these things have gotten mashed together in this fantasy world that we've created, where it's like, not only are you like playing it out in like the mind's theater or like the mind's eye of like, you know, you playing as these characters, but it's like when you actually do take a photo in this world, it is magical and powerful, and it may be
fictitious world.
What's that?
It's magical and powerful in this fictitious world.
Yeah, so in like, this fictitious world. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
So what if they're, okay, so what if in this world, maybe, like, I don't want to say, like, photography is illegal, but yeah, to, like, capture a photo or, like, a painting or something like that, Like, you have to be, like, an incredibly powerful, like, wizard or sorcerer or just person in general.
Right.
Or you have to summon it. Because when you do this, it creates, like, an entire world inside of it that, you know, has to be, like, saved or something. I don't know. Do you understand? I'm going to let you go, because that's about as far as I'm able to get as of right now, honestly.
I think that's a great jumping off point, because, okay, I'm already imagining the DM would come to these sessions with pre-planned photos or whatever to show not only the, you know, environment or the world that the players are going to be in, but also show them, you know, the different characters that they'll interact with, the enemies, the, you know, the conflicts or the traps or whatever you want to say. It'll all be mostly photo based. The part that, I mean, I guess if we did try to like incorporate some technology or whatever it is, like if this game comes with these special cameras that have these things, I feel like you'd be able to like plug in your camera to almost like a main hub, and then everyone would be able to, you know, take their thing. Like, again, like, okay, so let's say the DM shows us a picture of a volcano, and he says, or they say, so to start off, you guys are at this volcano, and there's a village at the bottom. And, you know, the volcano is about to erupt, but they don't have any boats or anything like that. Like, you need to help them because, I don't know, there's a woman in there that says that she knows how to help you on your quest, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
We plug in and we get the photos of our terracotta warrior, our mammoth, and all these, like, different things that are inside or, you know, overlaid on the photo of this volcano. And then we can change the photo itself with our stuff and our powers in order to kind of collectively storytell how we thwart, you know, whatever the crisis is. And maybe this is how the game would work then, is that the DM would have their like turn or phase or whatever of proposing the conflict, of laying down what is about to happen and what they are trying to accomplish. Maybe not even like all like super laid out crystal clear, but maybe the players then have some chances before the resolution to ask questions and inquire and figure out what they can do. Then they add to this photo their own stuff, or maybe they can even have powers and such once we kind of decide how like classes go, that they can like literally like crop something out. Like they, like maybe someone would be like, oh, I'm just going to crop the village out here and put it out in the water so that, you know, it's further out and out of harm's way or whatever it is.
You're saying they're doing like a lasso. Is this game going to be played
something
in,
like that,
in Photoshop?
Basically, that's what I'm kind of imagining, is that it would be like almost like a communal like tablet type thing that everyone could interact with, and it would have to, this is a very expensive game but
yeah, I know you describing this, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be big.
But okay, just keep on this brain train. Once the players are done with their phase, then maybe there's some rolling of the dice to see how effective their solution was or whatever. And then based off of all of that is the conclusion of that photo and whatever it is. And then it leads into the next portion. It leads into the next whatever chapter, the next phase, the next stuff like that. And it just kind of goes back and forth between DM throwing obstacles, you know, hitting the players with whatever they've got and whatever they're going to do. And then the players reacting and altering kind of this image in ways that they see fit. And then the DM would have to interpret that or whatever it is. And then the rolling of the dice and so on and so on.
Okay, so, all right. There's a lot going on with this.
I know. I was coming up with it on the spot.
Well, likewise.
right.
For classes and abilities and stuff like that, I think, I mean, we can make this like a hard pivot to only just be like a Photoshop game and say like there would be, when making like a class or a specific thing, there would have to be like, you would have to decide on what your character can do before you actually do it. Meaning like that lasso effect that you have. If anyone took a picture of a cowboy and someone happened to get that, or like cowboy or cowgirl or some sort of Western or something like that, or I don't know, explore something. Maybe they took a picture of like a rope. Then they would be like, your character has that ability to do like this lasso effect to like move certain amount of things. Or, you know, for our mammoth friend here who's like big and bulky, maybe he's able to, I'm very unfamiliar with Photoshop, but like stuff of that, maybe he's able to like warp pictures because he's so strong. He can like push it in so that it looks like it's, I don't know, he can like stretch out things to make them like longer or smaller because he's like big and strong and can like shape them in that way.
I'm like, I mean, I love it. I just think that we're kind of going down an avenue where like, I don't know if this game would have quote unquote classes. Like there would be like distinct things. It would be very abstract in obviously what it is. Like it would be kind of explanation based of, like you said, like the mammoth is big and strong, or even like, you know, has those tusks so it can dig a trench, so you could like take the volcano picture and like push down parts of it and be like, okay, this is my trench that when the lava comes down it's gonna flow around the village and go out into the sea. Like whatever it is, it's going to be very narrative based, but I think in order to kind of give it, you know, not just that you can go around and take pictures of whatever and say that you can do whatever, is that I think that, I don't know, maybe the DM can also force, or maybe with these three photos that the players take, there is one predetermined one from the DM that you like have to use, and maybe it's like a negative
one.
Oh,
I like that.
Yeah, maybe it's something that gives your character, you know, some kind of pitfall or something to overcome, even just yourself, to again kind of raise the stakes. Not that this game is intended to have like a winner or a loser. It's more of just a communal storytelling device.
Well, I don't. Okay. Well, all right. I like the idea that we don't need classes or anything like that, but we should have definite like powers that like you can maybe convince your DM that your character does have based on the photos that there are, but like you can't pick every single one of them. And you do have to have some sort of stats in order to like quantify how good you are at doing said thing.
Yeah, if there's going to be roles and stuff, that makes sense.
Yeah. And then in addition to that, I'm not even so sure that we should be going the whole like you see your peoples on like a photo, you know? Cuz like, I mean, even that's like kind of constraining. I understand like the DM's going to want to like pick things, but like, I mean, maybe the photos are just like there to give like some context in terms of where you are. But like the photos don't have to be like,
No, that's totally fine. We can roll back from the Photoshop thing, but I do think that, yeah, you're right. It should just be more about, if we're already going a very abstract route, it should just be about kind of you describing it and you using your powers and whatever else you have at the start of the game.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And it's all like, you know, this whole world that's there that we're living in is like, I don't know, in some sort of photo book that a wizard has, and that photo book all fell into a cauldron and all the photos are all mashed up or whatever. And it's up to some other strange people or creatures to, maybe this wizard or something like that is the DM itself, and he doesn't want these photos coming alive for some reason. I'm just trying to get an idea of like what's happening outside of these photos, because we have these characters going in from photo to photo, but like, what is the world? Is the universe in this place just photos?
Yeah, maybe it's that these photos or the players or whatever are trapped in this world of, you know, changing images and stuff like that, and they just kind of, you know, jump from location to location, like thing to thing, and they're trying to find any seed that will kind of lead them to, you know, a conclusion or whatever it is of like getting out. But that would just be the, you know, overarching theme. I mean, like any session could be just like, you know, the DM saying like, okay, like, so again, to take the volcano one, you're on a volcano and there's a village where a woman said that she can help you. Once they save the village, the woman says, oh, there's an evil mad scientist inside the volcano that has been trying to create a bomb to destroy the world or whatever it is. Like, it doesn't have to be, I think, every time, almost, you know, like in Dungeons and Dragons, that not all scenarios take place in Faerun or in the Lost Worlds, or I forget what they're called, but you know, it's not all in the same area. But let me throw one quick thing while it's still on the top of my mind.
Go ahead.
About how we would resolve abilities and stuff. I forget what game that I played, or maybe even heard. I can't remember now. But there's a TTRPG that when you create your character, you can take, yes, like certain stats, but what the stats mostly do is that while they influence your role, the main thing that they do is that they give your character tags. And so let's go back to our example. I have Woolly Mammoth, Chewbacca, to really nail it home.
Really then, furry, real fluffy. Yeah,
real fluffy, real strong, makes lots of noises. And then, I don't know, like, and then, yeah, sure, like a cowboy or whatever. And those are my three images. I can pick a primary, a secondary, and a tertiary one of whichever one I want. My primary is going to be my strengths. I pick the Woolly Mammoth, and I say I want my tag to be strong and burly, which, again, is, like, up for interpretation, but everyone would kind of understand that my character is going to be very strong and can move stuff and stuff like that, and burly, and I can take some hits.
Mm.
My secondary image, let's say I pick Chewbacca, and I'm like, okay, I pick one strength, and then the DM gives me one weakness, and I say, okay, I'm going to say that I am loyal. Like, that's another one of my tags, because Chewbacca is loyal to a T. Mm-hmm. But then
also
know, like,
very loud and not sneaky.
Exactly, yeah. Like, loud or you know, like, obvious or whatever would be a tag that the DM would give me. And then my tertiary one, maybe I pick, like, one more strength just to kind of lean it more towards the...
Got a cool hat.
Yeah, like, you know, cowboy. Like, or, yeah, like maybe, like, my thing is keeps my cool, but the DM picks two more weakness tags for me. And, like, one is, like, I don't know, like, loner. And then the other one is... I don't know.
Addicted, like, to rum. Or not rum. Whiskey.
Yeah. Alcoholic.
Alcoholic. Just, you
know, like whatever the DM sees fit as a tag. And then those are my character constraints that I would, yes, try to get myself in situations where I can use my strengths. But then, of course, the DM would be like, oh, okay, well, his weaknesses are these. So I'm going to try and force him into those situations or make them roll for that and, you know, kind of give me the conflict of trying to balance both of those.
Yeah. I think that's a really great way to categorize all of the above there, where, yeah, it should be like you have a combination. You can pick which image you draw the most strength from and then which mm-hmm. ones may be hindering you more. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah.
Okay. So in this world, there is an overworld, but the characters that the players will be playing as, they're mashed up from all the other sort of images from this overworld, correct? Or, like, or was this mammoth Chewbacca cowboy person a thing before he got stuck inside these paintings? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, no, I know. I lean more towards the latter in that those images just somehow got smarshed together when this world was created, and now they are trying to make sense of it, but they also, you know, like, they, I don't know, it almost like being a D&D hero, you're not the strongest person in the world, you know, when you first start, but you understand that you are an adventurer through and through, and you have these abilities that separate you from other, you know, just regular people in the world. So who knows, like, maybe that is like part of it. Maybe certain players' backstories are that they are a strange creature that was created and they're just trying to understand, whereas, you know, maybe it makes more sense for someone else to be like, oh, I've been here for millennia and for eons I have tried to escape this place or whatever, and that's just part of their character.
That's a good idea. Okay, that's good. But all of them were, like, created in this sort of mishmashing, and some of them are created earlier and some of them are created like way earlier.
Yeah, and, that's what... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, like, in addition, like, what if every single location there's, like, sort of like a timer or like a countdown of rounds before, like, the next one just popped up? So regardless of where you were, like, I'm imagining, like, you're on this volcano place and every single, like, round or turn you're there trying to solve the issue, the DM's gonna roll a d20 with, like, every single time that he rolls it and fails, the what am I going to try to say? The threshold for victory, like, gets smaller and smaller. Or, like, I guess, like, in D&D terms, the DC for it gets smaller. So, like, let's say, like, you're on your first level. It's got a DC starting out of 30. So, you know, at least for the first 10 rounds, you're going to be good to figure out the issue. And then after 10 turns or whatever's constant, like, whatever constitutes as a turn there, then that's when it starts getting down to, like, DC 20. And then, like, the next one's going to be, like, DC 19, so on and so forth. So, and then if you don't solve it in time, you just go to the, like, you just, I don't know, click the PowerPoint and you go to the next image.
What if it's this? What if it's this? I like all that, but what if instead of just, like, outright failing it, but to give kind of, like, that urgency and that, who knows, maybe some images you just cannot save. Maybe the DM does throw some really tricky, like, pitfall things, like, maybe you get there, or maybe the DM starts you on this volcano island and it's, like, already erupting. And yes, you know that you need to talk to the woman, but it's like, you could go to town and spend turns, like, talking to her and figure out what you need, but then you won't have enough time to save the entire town. Whereas, like, if you spent the turns to save the entire town, it would get, like, more and more dire. But as the game goes on, maybe another image or another location already pops up. So it's like you start out wherever you are, and the DM has predetermined in their mind, like, okay, after like 7 rounds, this new scenario, this new instance for them to jump into is going to pop up, and then that timer is going to start. So you can preemptively leave before you have saved everyone solved everything. If you feel like you've gotten everything that you wanted, you can jump onto the next one and you can start on whatever is over there. But again, you know, this would be up to the DM, but it's like whatever thing that you did or whatever stuff that you left unsolved in that past one, who knows, maybe there'll be consequences. Like, maybe the village did get destroyed and, you know, you have to go back to that volcano at some point in the campaign, and there's a bunch of angry villagers there that are, you know, dissatisfied, and they're, you know, pissed at you. But if you stayed there and saved them, then, you know, vice versa, the opposite, essentially.
We could have, like, a whole thing of, like, branching paths, because I'm imagining, like for some sort of scenario, like, two options show up, and, like, maybe some of the group, like, splits up and goes to the next image, and the other one stays behind to fill it up. But then, like, some people go to, like, a different image after that, but then it's also opening up more and more, like, portals that need to get solved, so it's not ultimately, like, a good idea to split up. Like, maybe you can save as many as you want to.
Yeah.
And maybe that's how you get victory, is that you get a victory by, like, over the DM in every single scenario by solving more issues. Like, if you solve 10 pictures before the DM solves 10, or, like, defeats you in 10 pictures, then you win. And it's just, like, there's always, every single time that you're inside one of those, there's a chance that another one will open up, and then you kind of have to make a guess, being like, oh, this is an ice world. I don't know if my character is going to be quite fit to do an ice world. We might just take an L on this and stay here and wait for another one to pop up. Yeah.
Yeah, so, that's a good one.
Something of that nature.
I like that. But, I mean, that's the thing, too, is that this, like, kind of lends itself as well into, like, a long-form campaign. If you really wanted to, you could create an image that is your, quote-unquote, like, home world, where it is a link between all these different images.
Oh, that's a good
things
idea.
Like, yeah, and things like that. And, like, while there would be main conflicts in the main homeworld for the DM to describe and make, or even, who knows, maybe it's just a gigantic image, and he says, okay, like, there's, you know, a rock slide over here, and there's a jungle that is thick with, you know, blight over here, and there's, like, all these, like, different locations and stuff like that in the one image, and then inside of maybe specific spots per their description, there are these different portals that are, like, completely different from the overworld that, like, truly become a transportive experience of going into these different realms and doing solving things or whatever.
What if we said this? So, yeah, I like, yeah, we should definitely have, like, some sort of main hub world, and the overall goal of it would be to solve as many of these different kind of, like, puzzles as you can.
Mm-hmm.
We've got it in a way, so one of these sessions that you play is solving is like first to 10 is the best way that I can put it. Like you, your team versus the DM. And then let's say that. What's that?
Oh, I was just saying our intro scenario.
Yeah. And so then when you, if let's say in this one for the first to 10, it's a little bit easy and you get the win. You level up and then you can maybe add like another like trait to one of your, like any one of your three, you can add another good trait or something that helps your character out that you think is positive. And then you're level two, and then when you and your friends sit down for the next session, everyone's level two and has that one additional special skill that they said that they would like to have. And then the next one, it just gets like further and further, like harder and harder scenarios. And if you've got a DM who's like taking notes in terms of like what missions they've failed and which ones that they've won throughout it, maybe the next time that you sit down and you're all level two, yeah, you do have some of the villagers or something like that who, you know, were attacked by the volcano and they start creating a conflict in the hub and like in the hub world and stuff like that. So
yeah,
it's like, it's all about like creating this like balance between like, you know, and if you, let's say you lose the first 10, then you become level three, but you have to add yourself another negative feature from one of your things, or like the DM comes up with one.
I always like when a TTRPG takes it that, instead of experience being how many victories you have or whatever, it's actually how many times you have failed or lost something is when your character gets an experience point or whatever. And so it's like you could ostensibly go through an entire campaign being level one, but granted the challenges might get harder and harder, so that when you do roll, you know, your traits or whatever the challenge rating is of whatever things that are thrown at you, if you keep getting super lucky and nailing it, then, you know, you'll never need any more, you know, traits or anything like that. And you just keep going and you're just good how you are. But if, you know, things are actually tough and you stumble sometimes, you just stuff like that, that's when your character learns and grows and you get those and you level up and you get those traits or whatever. But I guess all this is to say is that something that I think is like super fun too is that like maybe you never ever get a new negative trait or like in a completely new negative trait. Maybe like, so you have, you start with four positive and three negative, and then when you level up you get two new positives, but because you've had those failures, something like that, one of your strengths becomes your weakness. And so like,
oh
yeah, maybe like to go back to my Wookiee Chewbacca cowboy, maybe my loyalty becomes, the DM tells me, you know what, like, you are loyal to a fault, you now have stubbornness. You lose loyalty, and now you are stubborn, and so you would have...
I mean, that's pretty good. I like that idea. It could also be, like, in scenarios where it's not, like, 10 and 10 that you win or succeed, or you win or fail the scenario. It could also be, like, you have an infinite amount of scenarios to go through, but every single 10 that you succeed, you get a positive one, and every single 10 that you fail, you get a negative one. So there's not technically levels to it, but there are technically, like, you know, whenever you've been declared, like, a winner of a scenario, you add that to a chart being like, I have another success. If I get 9 more of these, then I get another positive.
Yeah. I just kind of like, I don't know why, I really like the idea. Maybe if you have, like, a really bad failure or something like that, it would be like a mechanic like that. But I love when characters have something that used to be like their go-to strength trait, it becomes, you know, becomes their weakest, becomes an inverse. Like, again, like loyalty can become stubbornness, or like burliness can become like foolhardiness or whatever.
What if we did this? What if we had every single scenario or every single one of the pictures that there were certain levels and degrees of success and failure, so you could do really well in one location and get like a +2 or like even a +3. But if you see that ice world and you don't even visit it and just let whatever happens, that's like a -3 to your score. And like, or even if you go inside of it and you really try and you still fail, you mess up. And then from there, that's still like a negative there. And it's like, okay, now you get a negative trait. And like the thing that you tried the most, maybe like it's up to the DM to be like, you tried to use this stat the most while trying to solve this problem that didn't work, and now it is a negative at this point.
Gotcha.
You know, well, it would be up to the DM to make the decision in terms of like what it is, but there would be like a concrete rule of like, if you failed, if you, to go back to the volcano one, if you saved less than half of the villagers, that's like a negative one. If you saved like none of the villagers, that is like a negative three, and your character feels bad. And every single time that you tried to like push one of, I don't know, push the lava or a rock out of the way or something like that and failed, now you feel really guilty that you didn't try something else, and now you have like stupidity as like like a negative. Like your character's just dumb now.
Yeah. Okay. Since we're running along on time, and I don't want to just arbitrarily throw a title, and I feel like I have some more ideas that I hope I remember for the next time we record, I think this will be our first two-part episode.
All right. Well, here's the thing, though.
What's up?
What should we call... Should we name it now so that we can say, like, episode 20, part 1?
Or I guess we could release them in together so that...
I understand.
Man, this is great. This episode's going to have a name, and we don't even know it at this point. It's going
to
say it.
I'm excited to see what it is. Yeah, I'm excited to hear it. I hope everyone's excited as well. But you will already know what it is because it will be on there already. Because
it will be on the episode, we promise.
Yeah.
But we don't know it.
We don't. We're not quite sure.
Yeah. So, thank you so much for listening. We are Miss Dunn Needs More Games. You can find us on Twitter at PatchPotchRND. I had to remind myself. And for any professional inquiries, it is PatchPotchLLC@gmail.com.
That's all correct, yeah. Stay tuned for our part two, where we not only come up with the name for you to hear, but finish up whatever the hell we're talking about.
Yeah. Oh, I'll just say it right now. I'm thinking about, like, you know, health, how to handle damage, how to handle, you know, like...
We're going to get really into mechanics this next coming one. We got, like, the world done for this one.
Yeah. We're going to make some real TTRPG magic, boys and girls.
Well, everybody. Well, cool.
Yes, that's true. And non-identifying people as well. Yes. But yes. So, yeah, thanks. Do you got to sign off, or do you want me to?
Yeah. I'll say, well, honestly, I will just say your sign-offs have been pretty great because you've been adding sound effects to yours, which
yeah.
I want to say is cheating because now my sign-offs don't sound as good, but we're all on the same team technically here, except for the sign-off, I guess. So all I'm going to say is, do you have a sign-off actually before I go?
No. I was going to say, if you want to do this one, you can zhuzh up this sign-off as much as you want.
I will not zhuzh it. I'm just going to say it. I'm going to say a picture's worth a thousand words, and your quest starts here.
Bye.